This was supposed to be a chance that was given to Tyler, and unfortunately, since he's not here, I'm delivering the message to you. Also, a disclaimer is I've never spoken on a Sunday before, so this is my first time. So if I do make mistakes, I do hope you forgive me in the Lord's name. Having said that, my topic for today is mainly going to be focused on the tribe of Judah. And I know it's a topic that has been spoken by a lot of eloquent preachers, and it's probably a message that you've heard many times. You might have, maybe your thoughts are saturated with the verses that's mentioned with the Bible and with regards to Judah. But today, I'm just glad you're going to hear it all over again. So, having said that, just to mention who Judah really was. He was definitely one of the sons of Jacob. His mother's name was Leah. And does anybody know the meaning of the word Judah? No. So let me give you a little more recap. So Judah, the actual Hebrew name is Yehuda. And the meaning of Yehuda means Yahweh be praised. And it's kind of interesting to see that Judah's, among the 12 tribes of Israel, or among the sons of Jacob, this was the only name that actually had the name of Yahweh in it. So so the meaning of the name is Yahweh be praised. And it just struck me, because that was a really, it's not that often that you see Israel take that name of Yahweh and put it as another name. So that was just interesting. But there are other, if you look at the other names of the children of Israel, like for example, if you see Reuben, what's the meaning of the name of Reuben? It says, see, O son. The name of Simeon, it means hearing. Levi means joined or attached. If you say Dan, it means judge. So this was the only name that had, that mentioned God in it. So let's take a history, let's go back and let's see what the Bible actually talks about Judah. But before we go to Judah, I would like to let you know that Judah was the fourth son of Jacob. So who are the first three? First one is Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, and then it's Judah. The Bible actually says that the birthright, and that's proven, and as we keep going, I will prove to you from the Bible that the birthright was given to Judah. But why is it that the first three did not get the birthright? Or what were the sins they committed? Or what caused the birthright to go from Reuben all the way to Judah? Why is it that the line of Judah, why was it that the Messiah actually came from the line of Judah? And it's kind of an interesting thought, but let's just go back and see, look at the lives of the other three tribes of Israel, or the other three sons of Israel, which is Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. So if we go back to Genesis, I don't want to take that part, but there is a sin of Reuben that's mentioned in the book of Genesis, and I think it's Genesis chapter 38. Actually, forgive me, if we can just go to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3. This is the blessing that Jacob gives to the sons of, and verse 3 talks about the blessings that's given to Reuben. It says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it, he went up to my cup. So there is a sin of Reuben that's taken place, and I don't want to elaborate on it. So basically, he lost his birthright at that point. Then we go to the sin of Simeon and Levi. If you recollect, there is the sin of Simeon and Levi is that happened when it talks about the story of Dinah. If you remember, the sin was the sin against the Shechemites, where Levi and Simeon go over and they go and kill the Shechemites, and that is how they lose their birthright too. And now it goes down to Judah. And it's hard for me to think that Judah might have never sinned. But let us go ahead and read what Jacob talks about, or how Jacob blesses Judah. And that is in Genesis chapter 49, verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp, my son, thou art gone up. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the wine, and his ass's colt unto the choice wine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. So this is an interesting thing that was given to, and this is also one of the messianic prophecies that's given. If you look at verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. If you want references for that, is about the lawgiver, it talks in Psalm 60, verse 7. It talks about the lawgiver. It does talk about the lawgiver coming from Judah, from the line of Judah. But you'll also find it interesting to know that there are many great Jewish leaders and characters that are of the lineage of some of the prominent ones or prophets, like Isaiah, Amos, Habakkuk, Joel, Micah, Obadiah, Zechariah, and Zephaniah. So all of them come from the line of. Let us take some time to actually, and for that we might have to go into a couple of stories in the Bible, some of the most well-known stories in the Bible, and where the name of Judah is specified. One thing that we can confirm about Judah is he wasn't a violent man, because while his older brothers still went and executed, we don't find that Judah actually went with them. He didn't go up with his brothers. So I do tend to think he's not a violent man. That's an educated guess that I'm taking from the Bible. If you remember the conversation while they were about to sell, it was Judah. Why should his blood be upon our hands? Let us just sell him. I'm not saying that what he did was right by selling him, but he was not. My point being, he was not a violent man, and that is strong characteristics that I find about Judah in the Bible. Genesis chapter 36, verse 26. That actually records the conversation. Genesis chapter 37, verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So that actually describes the first characteristics of Judah, which says he's not a violent man. Now, as we keep going, the history of Judah, he does have his sons. He does have his downfalls too. Like his descendants do have a lot of downfall. We know of his son. We also know of who sinned by, this was during the time of Joshua. What happened was there was a man of the tribe of who actually went, when the Lord commanded them not to take the spoils of their enemies, he actually did hide the spoils. And this was actually a man of the tribe of Judah. So if you look at Judah and his tribe, they've had their positives, but they've also had their downfalls. But the main point is, that Judah as a person, there's not a lot of wrongdoings that's recorded in the Bible about him and his tribe. The Bible does record that he later on goes on to become the founder of the tribe of Judah. And another main attribute that can be given to Judah was that he was very focused. He was a focused, and he did keep the commandments of the Lord. He did uphold that. And why do we say that? If we go down and trickle down into the tribes of Judah, or the, some of the great things that Judah did, we will come across the time where Judah actually waged war against the Canaanites. Now, this is the time of Joshua. Now, this is like so many years later. This is the time of Joshua. And so Joshua asked Judah to go and fight for him. And one thing that we know is he actually had tied up with the Simeonites, and he did fight. And this is found in Judges chapter 1. Now in Judges chapter 1, verses 1 all the way to, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew them in Bezek 10,000 men. And it keeps going on to say that Judah, as a very focused person, he did. Basically, it was the Lord had told him that this is the land that's going to be given unto you. And he did all that. He didn't lose focus, and he did go ahead, inherit that land, and he took hold of the promise, and he did go and destroyed everything in the way. It's kind of a contrast to what we learned before, where he was not actually a violent man. And how did this tribe that of a man who was not that violent come and do this, where he kind of like annihilated the whole of Canaanites who stood in his way? And how did this happen? The fact that Judah was not a violent man still stands, but the fact that Judah was a more focused man, and a man who focused on God's commandments. So if there was a promise that was given to Judah, if there was a promise that God had commanded him, that superseded it all. He was focused, and that is why nothing stood in his way. He did team up with the Simeonites, and he did take up that land that was given to him. Another interesting characteristic about Judah was, in almost all the time, he was a leader. He did, even in all the conversations that took place in Egypt with Joseph, it was usually Judah who made this. It was usually him who was mediating. He was the person who was talking. So we do know that he was a person with a little more, who was of a leadership, who was a little more leader, who had a more, quite a lot of leadership characteristics, and he did mediate. The main characteristic of Judah that struck to me was the fact that he was focused on God's commands and God's promise. From a man who was not violent to a person that actually goes and kills the Canaanites, and who goes and takes hold of the land that was promised to him, it was nothing but his focus. It's also interesting to know that Caleb was also from the line of, but all this being said, what does he get as an inheritance for being focused? Or what does he get as an inheritance for staying focused on the Lord's commands? Now it comes to the time where Joshua actually divides the land. And Joshua does divide the land. And if you keep reading the book of Judges, if you go all the way down, it talks about the land that Judah actually possessed. And as an inheritance, I was looking at the topography of the whole place, and I did learn that the land that Judah was given had plains, it had fertile soil, it had barren lands, it also had the Negev Desert, or what we today call as En Gedi. So some of the main towns, or the main cities that Judah acquired as an inheritance, Bethlehem, even before the name Bethlehem came, there was a place there called as Ephrath. Is the same place where Rachel was buried. Rachel, Jacob buried Rachel in that place, and they say that there was the scepter of there's a memorial there for Rachel. It's even mentioned when Saul was going to be anointed. That place is mentioned, but Ephrath. What is the meaning of the word Ephrath? For staying focused, for Judah staying so focused, one of the inheritance that he received was Ephrath. It's kind of interesting because this Christmas time, we don't sing a lot of songs about the tribes of Zebulun. We don't sing a lot of songs about the tribe of Issachar. But even in our songs, we do remember Bethlehem. We do sing about the star of Bethlehem. We do sing about the line of Judah. And it is kind of interesting that of all the 12 tribes, Judah is definitely held a little more higher than all the other tribes. And as an inheritance, his inheritance was in Bethlehem. You know, as history passes on, in the interest of time, I'm going to skim through a lot of this. As history passes on, we know Jesse, the father of King David, was born in Bethlehem. So was King David himself. And so these are the main people who resided in Bethlehem, in citizens of Bethlehem. And Judah earned this all as an inheritance only because he stayed focused. Now, what is our practical message? If you actually think about it, as a church, in coming to the end of this year, this is right around the time where we actually reevaluate our walks, or reevaluate our focus, or our aim. And now we are at the end of this year, and we're looking forward to another full year. Or what is our main aim? A couple of there's a joke that came to my mind that I heard in a camp a long time ago. This one person, he goes to heaven. He goes to the pearly gates, and as he gets into heaven, he sees Saint Peter. He's like, oh, wow, this is really good. Now, as he goes, he notices clocks in there, and these clocks, it does not have it's not like the modern day clock where you have a glass in front of it. It's just two arms, and that's how the clock works. And then he sees it spinning or taking one hole every now and then. Right behind that clock, or right on the back dial of the clock, he sees names like he sees all these things. He sees them rotate every now and then. So he was really confused, and he asked Saint Peter, "What is the meaning of this clock? And why does it rotate? It does not keep time, but it just rotates. Every time one of these people or one of these clans actually sin, the Hindus, one of them sin takes one whole rotation." And so he was interested. He was really fascinated by this. Now he goes around and he the different people, like different nations, different. But there was one sector that he couldn't find, which was, I mean, he could find all, even under the churches, he could find the Catholics and everything. He couldn't find the assemblies. And he was really worried. Now, what happened to this one clock of this? With a very troubled heart, he asked Peter, of the assemblies. Oh, well, that clock rotates so fast, now I use it as a ceiling fan. So, again, it's just a joke, but from my point being, many of us, that is actually an example of a clock that's been repurposed for the wrong reason. But many of us, even in the assemblies, are we focused? What is our focus? And this would be a good time for us. Our question here is, are we like and Simeon and Levi, who acted upon impulse and lost our birthright? Or are we like Judah, who held his peace against the Shechemites, who reasoned for the life of Joseph with his brothers, and obeyed God's commandments and destroyed the Canaanites? Church, can we identify with that Judah? And this might bring us to a question that asks, so if that's the case, what is the commandment? The commandment that was given to us is written in Matthew chapter 28, we're baptizing them in the name of the Father. This was the one mission, one commandment given to us, the one commandment that we have to stay focused on. Before I end, if I could just have all of us read verse 20, teaching them to observe all these things whatsoever I have commanded you. I am with you always. Being the only commandment that's given to us as a church, being our focus, it's really important. We go into the world, it's our main purpose. And only then, as an inheritance, will we get Ephraim or Ephrath. I'm really sorry I had to steal Tyler's good message, and I really feel sorry you couldn't listen to his message. Stuck with this. But I do hope this gives you the manna for the week. I'd like to thank the church for giving me this opportunity.